This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen, nabiyyina wa qudwati Muhammad alihi afdal as-salah wa azka taslim. Allahumma alimna ma yunfa'na wa anfa'na bima alamtana wa zidna ilman ya Rabbil Alameen. So we're in Surah Al-An'am and we're getting close to the end of this thing. The 125th verse is where we left off. You know, the main idea of this surah is talking about our faith, our belief, and also sort of clarifying for us the different sneaky ways in which kufr works, the different sneaky ways that shirk works, and the most recent one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had been talking about right where we left off was the type of person that likes to call the shots. And they want to call the shots so much that they want to call the shots even with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you had a lot of different people that were like this at the time because the Quran was coming down. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was among the people. And yet you had people saying, well, I'm not going to believe unless this happens. I'm not going to believe unless you make me and my homies prophets. I'm not going to believe unless you give us a physical book, like sent down, like in paper, and all these sorts of things. You got to show us a sign. How come an angel didn't come, right? They thought that they knew better. And what do we say? For somebody who knows everything, you can't teach him anything, right? And somebody who knows nothing, you can teach him everything. And so that was the split. You had certain people in Mecca that, you know, you can't tell them anything. They think they got it all figured out. They think that, well, if a prophet were to come, it would be one, me and one of my boys. We're the chiefs. We're the noblemen. We're the movers and shakers of the community. And then this prophet comes from somebody they didn't expect to say, no, 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 it can't be him. It's not who we approve of. Actually, Allah quoted it in the Quran. He said, if this were the truth, we would have been the first to believe it. Right? Look at the attitude. Do we have people like that still today? Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Inside the Muslim community and out. But that's for something for the khutbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had just left off on this note. He had just dealt with this group of people. We won't believe unless one of us were given the message. And so Allah was showing how all shirk, which is invented tradition, not real tradition, right? It's superstition. It's stuff that Allah didn't tell anybody to do. Why are you worshiping this statue? Why are you believe that being born in April means that you're a nice guy or you're going to get married and whatever, right? Zodiac signs, crystals, all this stuff that we have today. Who told you that this stuff works? Did Allah ever tell you that this stuff works? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. So by what authority do you make this claim? By what authority do you try to claim that this stuff actually matters? And what it is, all the way down underneath, is people trying to reassert control. People trying to reassert control over the process of religion. Because if it's just what Allah said in this book, it's outside of me entirely. I have to submit. I have nothing else. It's like a third-party audit, right? People come in, they don't know you, they don't care who you are, where you come from, they're looking at your books, and they better be straight. And if they're not straight, you're going to go to jail, or you're going to get a fine, or you're going to be not in compliance. That's the third-party audit. What the people of shirk want, they want the friend on the inside. They want the insider to come in and give them the audit. Oh, well, you know, me and your father went to school together, we're from the same tribe, you know, I'll take it easy on you guys. That's what they want. They want to get it easy. And so they are trying to reassert control. If we can invent these things, these gods, these statues, these zodiac signs, these crystals, guess what? They're not real gods. They can't speak for themselves. Somebody's going to have to speak for them. Who gets to decide what the idol wants? Who gets to decide what the idol makes the idol happy or not? Who gets to decide what makes the idol angry or not? Then I get to put myself up in this position. I say, well, I'm the one who's able to interpret what the idol wants. And then you see how that works. So true faith is cutting through all of this. True faith is completely out of our hands. It's 100% submission to something that is completely out of our hands. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out the Quraysh for this. He said, listen, all this nonsense that you guys are coming up with, you're just trying to keep control over something that really has to be completely out of your hands. If you don't have nothing to hide, you shouldn't be afraid. But they know that they have stuff to hide, and so they don't want to come under the audit of divine guidance. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something amazing. He says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَسْرَحْ صَدَرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ Allahu Akbar. He says, whoever Allah wants to guide, he's going to open or expand his chest or his heart to Islam. That tells us a couple things. One thing, it tells us what we just talked about in the khutbah this Friday, that belief is not about how smart you are, it's about how sincere you are. Belief is not a cognitive triumph, it's not a cognitive issue, it's a moral issue. Because if it were a cognitive issue, if belief were just about how smart you were, then every smart person would be in Jannah, and every stupid person would be in Jahannam. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You got people who are PhDs, multiple PhDs, award-winning this, award-winning that, and they are arrogant. And so they'll go into the hellfire. All that knowledge, it's not even neutral. It's against them. They had all that knowledge, all that intelligence, and yet they still couldn't believe because something inside their heart prevented them. And then you've got somebody homeless, on the street, nothing, no opportunities, no, doesn't even have a high school education, but his heart is pure. And so he feels the truth and he believes in it. And that person is going to go into paradise. Not only that, the Prophet ﷺ, let me blow your mind. The Prophet ﷺ said something amazing. He said, the poor person is going to beat the rich person into Jannah by 500 years. By 500 years. How does that work? Why does the poor person get to be in Jannah 500 years before the rich person? He's got less things to be asked about. That's right. Because what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah At-Takathur? وَلَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ You will be asked on that day. La, tawqeed. He says, you know, emphasis. You are surely, definitely going to be asked on that day about every blessing. That means what? Gates of paradise. Angels are there. The person comes in, didn't have a home, didn't have a car, didn't have a family, didn't have bills, didn't have responsibilities like that, but he had a pure heart. He did what he could. He has his mistakes. We all have our mistakes. Angels are going to step right aside and say, you know what, you go right on in. And the person who had the house and had the car and had the degrees and had the company and had the this and had the that, angels would say, hold up. How did you use this? That car that you had, were you always driving to something halal? Or were sometimes you driving to something haram? That money you had, were you always spending it on something halal or sometimes you were spending it on something haram? And so on and so forth, till he goes through the person's spouse and the person's children and the person's clothes and the person's games and their toys and everything that they had, their vacations and everything. Then, once it gets to the end of the list, all right, You can go in. 500 years. 500 years later. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is not about how smart you are. Faith. It's about how pure your heart is. And whoever Allah wants to guide, he's going to open up his chest, his heart to Islam. And on the flip side, وَمَنْ يُرِدَ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدَرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ He said, and whoever Allah wants to misguide, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his chest tight, constricted, as if, he says, he's ascending through the sky. Any of you guys ever been mountain climbing? Or you, okay, let's be, okay, what do you have to do in a plane? Anybody ever flew in a plane? What do they have to do in a plane? They have to pressurize the cabin, right? Why do they have to pressurize the cabin? Because you're changing elevation so quickly. If you didn't have a pressurized cabin, everybody would be able to, they wouldn't be able to breathe, right? The quality of the air, it gets thin. People know this for, you know, some marathon runners, they're up in the mountains. They train up in the mountains because the air is thinner up there, meaning there's less oxygen in the air. So if you can train and run in the mountains, then when you get down into the valley, close to sea level, it's like resistance training. You're awesome because your heart and your lungs are used to working so efficiently. You're using that air that's got very little oxygen. usually people are used to it. If you live up high, you're always living up high. If you're living down low, you're used to it. But what if you change all of a sudden? You take us, we're down here in Mohawk Valley. You put us on the top of Mount Everest. We're not going to be able to breathe, right? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, but he's not talking about breathing oxygen. He's talking about breathing faith. He's talking about guidance. He says, whoever Allah wants, he's going to constrict his heart just like that. Just like that person who is ascending through the heavens. And they're not going to be able to find the right way. Now the question is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, then why does he say that he is the one to misguide people? He wants to guide people and he wants to misguide people. How does that work? How is that fair? They chose to be misguided. Okay, very good. MashaAllah. I can't get anything by you guys. Because it's in response to what's in their heart. It's in response to what's in their heart. If they are sincere and they want to be guided, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open their chest to guidance as a consequence of their orientation, right? And if the person doesn't want to be told, he doesn't want to accept, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make that person's chest tight out of consequence of what he already put forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts everything in this life and lets us live our lives in order to demonstrate in an obvious way what he already knows is hiding deep down inside of us. كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرِّجَسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. In that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings filth upon the people who don't believe. وَهَذَا صِرَاطُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is the straight path of your Lord. قَدَ فَصَّلْنَا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you said, already فَصَّلَ. He spelled out everything, separated every sign, every ayah, every lesson. It's right there for you to see. It's not something hidden in some sort of secret philosophical treatise somewhere in some dusty library. It's out in the open for absolutely everybody to see. Obvious. Hiding in plain sight. But only for a certain type of person. Only a certain type of person is going to benefit from those obvious signs. For people who, يَذَّكَّرُونَ, they remember, they try to think, they try to remember. What's going to be theirs? What's going to be the consequence of that orientation that they have? لَهُمْ دَارُ السَّلَامِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They're going to have the abode of peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a play on words here because he just said that he's going to open their chests towards Islam. Now he says in the afterlife, he's going to give them Daru Sana. He's going to give them the abode of peace. Because Jannah for us is about internal and external peace. Every single type of worry that you have. We all got it. We're all right here today. We're all men. You got bills to pay. You got relationships you try to fix. Stuff's going on all the time. Sometimes it feels like you're at war with the world. Sometimes it feels like everything's crashing down around you. Sometimes your back's up against the wall. Can you imagine being in a situation where you don't have a single worry? That's Jannah, Daru Salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on throwing these things. That's why the companions used to be afraid if life was too easy. Because they knew that this was how it was supposed to work. This work is fighting, fighting, fighting. There's always something that's happening. But then once the angel takes your soul, that's when your release is. And Allah promised you. That's why the people who got close to, they actually saw it on the battlefield. They saw people like, you know, back at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they saw jihad, they saw martyrdom, they saw people that die with smiles on their faces. And they said, Sadaqa Rasulullah. They said that what the Prophet ﷺ promised us was true. Once you cross over to the other side, Allah promised the people of faith, Daru Salam, the abode of peace, internal and external. Every need you want fulfilled, every pleasure that you deny yourself of the dunya, yeah, sure, go ahead, in the afterlife. And every single worry and setback and negative emotion that you had in this life, it's all gone. It's all gone. وَهُوَ وَلِيُّهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward them and follow up in consequence because of what they used to do. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. And on the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers them all together, talking about the day of resurrection, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ. And he's talking to the jinn. قَدَ اسْتَكْثَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ. You really have gone out of your way. You guys really did go the extra mile to try to mislead these human beings. Allah's talking to the jinn.
وَقَالَ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمْ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ. And the people who were deceived by those jinn, remember the jinn's job is to whisper these suggestions to us. رَبَّنَا اسْتَمْتَعَ بَعْضُنَا بِبَعْضٍ. It's kind of like people are making excuses. It's like, look, you know, they're to blame and we're to blame, like we were both kind of in it together. It wasn't all us, right? It wasn't just our fault. وَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَنَا الَّذِي أَجَّلْتَ لَنَا. And we have finally reached the time period, the expiration date that you have set for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, or it will be said to them, قَالَ النَّارُ مَثْوَاكُمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. That the fire is going to be your resting place forever, to be inside of it, except for who Allah wills. And Allah says that because Allah has the power to bring people out of the hellfire. There will be people who they believed and they had a tawheed, and despite all their sin, they will be put into the hellfire for a time and then they'll be removed. The last people to enter Jannah. The last people to enter Jannah. People who believed but were so covered in sin that they had to go to the hellfire first. And then through the shafa'ah of the Prophet والسلام, through the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad والسلام, they will be removed from the hellfire and they'll be dipped in a river of in paradise. When they come out of the hellfire, they're charred, like you've overburnt your toast. But they're going to be dipped into a river of paradise and come out sparkling, shining. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them a question, have you ever experienced any hardship in your whole life? And they're going to say, no. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Dar as-Salam, the abode of peace. When you cross over, everybody, you know, you remember growing up, you saw Men in Black. Remember they got those little things that wipe your memory? That's what it is. That's Jannah. Can you imagine? Right? You just went through hell. You literally went through hell, scorching and burning in flames. Right? Torture. You don't know whether you're going to come out. And then all of a sudden, you're taken out. You're dipped in, boom, gone. Dar as-Salam. You've crossed over. May Allah make us people from Ahl Jannah and not make us have to go through the fire first. Inna Rabbaka Hakimun Alim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who those people are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often ends the ayat, the verses of the Quran, when he talks about something that, you know, involves punishment, he often ends it with his names, Hakimun Alim. He's Hakim because he knows what he's doing. He's wise. He knows better than you, Alim, and he knows everything. So we can't go through life and say, yeah, I see this guy over here. He looks like he's going to the fire. Look out. Or this guy over here, yeah, man, he's good. He's good. He doesn't have to worry about a thing. We have no idea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakimun Alim. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, he allows some of the transgressors, he was just talking to the jinn and the people who deceived the deceivers and the ones who allowed themselves to be deceived. He says, in this way, we allow some of them to influence others and reap what they sowed. Ya ma'ashar al-jinn, Allah says again, wal ins, O you group, you gathering of jinn and human beings, alam yatikum rusulun minkum, didn't there come to you a messenger from among you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, he only sends a messenger from among that group of people. Right? He doesn't export the job. He doesn't outsource. Right? Every company now, you call up customer service, right? It's some call center out in the Philippines or something like that. Or India. Why do they do that? To save money. Right? Because if they had a call center here in the United States, they'd have to pay minimum wage. They'd have to do this, right? They're trying to save money. So they outsource that thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not outsource prophets. Does not outsource messengers. He sends people a messenger from their own because they already know him, they know his character, they know that he's trustworthy. The Prophet ﷺ in the Quran uses this as a proof against his own people, the Quraysh. He says, you already knew me from young age. I grew up among you. You guys know me and you know what I'm about. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought someone in from outside, people would have an excuse to say, who's this guy? He just showed up today. We don't know him. We don't know what he wants, right? Allah doesn't give room for that sort of excuse. He says, and he's asking a rhetorical question here, أَلَمْ يَتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ, hasn't there come to you a messenger from among you, يَقُصُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِي, telling you my signs, explaining my signs, وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ and warning you, لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا, and warning you guys about this day. Didn't you have fair warning? Wasn't it true that somebody told you? قَالُوا شَهِدْنَا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا. They bear witness against themselves. They say, yeah, that's true. It happened. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, okay, you were warned, why didn't you do anything? Why were you asleep at the wheel? He said, وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Because the life of this world had deceived them. The life of this world had deceived them. وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا كَافِرِينَ. And so they bear witness upon themselves that they used to deny. That's the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand, is that if we get too attached to this world, we're going to deny the message when it comes to us. And that can be like capital M message, like for example, the people, if they have a prophet sent to them. Okay, if you're too attached to the dunya, how are you going to react when a prophet is sent to you? Are you going to accept him? No, you're going to reject him. That's what happened with the Bani Israel. That's what happened to the Nasara. Here comes a new prophet. They had built their entire identity on, well, we're God's chosen people. Then there came another prophet outside of them. Ruined that whole thing, that whole narrative. And so they, because they were too attached to this thing in the dunya, they were prevented from following the message. And it can happen in smaller ways for us, okay? You're attached to your business. You're attached to a certain romantic interest. You're attached to this. You're attached to that. And what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you a sign, sends you a wake-up call? You have two options. You can get the message, or you can deny the message. You can get right, you can get straight, or you can keep on doing what you're doing. And if you don't, maybe Allah is going to ask you the same question here. Didn't the messenger come to you? Didn't I send you a message? Then you're going to say, yeah, actually you did. And Allah says, وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The life of this world deceived them. It tricked them. وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَنْهُمْ كَانُوا كَافِرِينَ. And they bear witness on that day against themselves that they denied. Allah says something amazing as we turn the page to the next page. ذَلِكَ أَلَّمْ يَكُوا رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَىٰ بِذُلْمْ وَأَهْلُهَا غَافِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish or destroy a qura, a people, a nation, a town, oppressively. بِذُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا غَافِلُونَ. Allah doesn't punish people arbitrarily. Allah doesn't punish people until He sends them a warner. Allah doesn't punish people for being ignorant. Remember the first thing we said. It's not about ignorance. It's about arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes people after they've rejected, after they've denied, not just because they don't know. He says it right here. وَأَهْلُهَا غَافِلُونَ. We're not going to punish a people just because they didn't know any better. We're only going to punish people after they were shown the message, they were given a messenger, and they rejected and then they denied. وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا. And there are ranks. There are ranks to this, to both belief and to denial. There's some people that are way, way, way down on the bottom. There's some people that are way, way, way up at the top. And there's levels in between. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلِينَ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ignorant of what they used to do. وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from need, the one who possesses mercy. إِي يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفْ مِنْ بَعْدِكُمْ مَنْ يَشَاءُ كَمَا أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, then He can replace you. He can get rid of you. And He can bring about, instead of you, other people. Other people, whoever He wants. كَمَا أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. Just as He brought you forth from another people. Okay, we think that we have these sort of like, you know, our ethnic identities, for example, they're like, actually, they go back indefinitely. No, they don't. What does it mean to be Bosnian? What does it mean to be Somali or Somali Bantu? What does it mean to be Italian or American or whatever? You go back far enough, it started from someplace. And that wasn't even a thing, right? We all come from Adam. Then from Adam, his sons, and then his sons, and then his sons. And then at some point, here came the Somali Bantus. And from some point, here come the Italians. And from some point, here come the Bosnians. Right? If you go back, Allah started every group of people somewhere. So He's saying, just like we brought your people out of nothingness, out of a different people, we can get rid of you and bring out another people from among you. Then Allah says, إِنَّمَا تُعَدُونَ لَآتْ. Certainly that which you have been promised is coming. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. And you are not going to be able to stop it. قُلْ يَا قَوْمِ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنِّي عَامِلٌ. So say to your people, He says, say, oh people, work for your station. We just said that it's darajat, it's different levels, right? Heaven has levels, hell has levels. Work for your spot. Work for your spot. And then the Prophet ﷺ is instructed to say, I'm working too, right? I don't have it all taken care of. Inni amil. I'm also working. Fasawfa ta'lamun. Fasawfa ta'lamun man takuna lahu 'aqibatu dar. You're going to find out in the end who gets to inherit paradise, who gets eternal bliss. But you're not going to figure that out now. You're going to figure it out later. Innahu la yuflihu adh-dhalimun. The oppressors are not going to triumph. It might seem like they do right now, but the oppressors are not going to be happy on that day. وَجَعْلُوا لِلَّهِ مِمَّا ذَرَأَ مِنَ الْحَرْثِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ نَصِيبًا فَقَالُوا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actually I think we're going to end a little bit early today, we'll end it here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transitions from talking about these general issues of belief and disbelief and rejection and paradise, and He gets back to some of the taboos that the Quraysh had established for themselves. Remember that we said that they felt guilty because they knew that they were rejecting the truth from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so they had invented all of these other taboos that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala never told them to institute. It came to what to eat and what not to eat, and you can do this and you can't do that. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is going to go through those to take us pretty much to the end of the surah and talk about some of the other superstitions that the Quraysh used to have and invalidate them and make them seem as foolish as they are.